Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us again here on God's Learning Channel for another great episode of The Light of the Southwest. I'm your host, Eric, and my wife, Holly.
Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. And we are just really very excited. I think we say this every time, how excited we are for our next guest. But our next guest is coming from Texas, Byron Stenson. And if you never met Byron, and I'm sure on some level you must hear, I've heard of his ministry with the Red Heifers. Please welcome Byron Stenson.
Hey, how are y'all today? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming, Byron. We're doing really well. And what part of Texas are you in today?
So I'm in Granbury, Texas. I have a lake house here in Granbury. So I'm sitting at my house right now.
All right. Well, so most of our audience, I think, probably know a bit or heard about your ministry on some level from either Joe Good or others who are out there talking about it. There are so many people that you're working with that you've gained international news coverage on what you did. But if you would walk us through how the Lord inspired you with your ranch and your cattle and what he said that you needed to do, tell us the story.
Well, let me start off by saying there are some misconceptions out there. And so hopefully in this will straighten some of that out. And so I'm happy to do that. But, I can't get started without going all the way back to age 13. I'm laying in my bed age 13. I'm reading from the Apostle Paul, who is explaining to us how that he was sent to the Gentile people of the world to teach us about his faith and about the family of Abraham and how we've been grafted into them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm reading that. He was saying he was the worst of sinners. And I realized, well, he was wrong because I was the worst of sinners. And then he explains to me in Romans chapter 7-8, he starts explaining that by believing in the sacrifice of Christ, then his spirit can connect to our spirit. And by doing that, then we are given the power and the authority to overcome the works of the flesh. And we won't become sinless, but we will be able to become more and more sanctified throughout our lives. So I was reading that. And then just past that, we come to a verses. And when you get to Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul starts talking about how he was sent to us, to the Gentiles, but he loves the fathers of faith and that he would give up his eternal soul for the fathers of faith. Mm-hmm. And anything he says to us is important and makes a difference in our life for us to always remember to bless the fathers of faith. And when I read that, my heart was just touched. I'm 13 years old. I'm laying in bed mm-hmm. and my heart is touched. And I heard a conversation. Now, it's not something I heard in my mind. It was like it was out loud. And what I heard on my left, I heard the Lord of creation say, I'm going to use him with the Jewish people.
Wow.
Yeah. And then on my right, I heard he's going to be a failure. He's full of sin, lust. He's not going to be able to do anything for you. Mm. Now, I'm 13 years old. I'm just learning about my faith. Mm-hmm. And it was a powerful experience in my life. Mm. The next morning when I got up out of bed, I didn't tell my mom, my dad, I didn't tell any of my friends in school, teacher, I didn't tell the pastor, I didn't tell my Sunday school teacher, I didn't tell anybody. And then I went about my life, but I never forgot it. Fast forward 30 years. I'm now 43 and I'm getting married to my best friend. Her name's Tammy. And we've been best friends at that point 10 years, and we were blending our families together. And I said, Tammy, before we get married, you know me. You've known me 10 years. You know who I am. But there's something I've never told anybody. And I just told her the same story that I told you.
Wow.
And my wife, she looked me in the eye and she said, Byron, that's going to happen.
I said, Amen.
Tammy, I'm 43. I've never even met a Jew yet.
Wow. You know,
it's gonna happen. She says, that's going to happen. A 13-year-old would never hear that unless it was God.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Her faith really bolstered my faith because, you know, 30 years, I knew I'd heard the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward we went to Israel the first time in year 2000. God called us there through a ministry. I played praise and worship teams. And we went to Ireland on 99 and played praise and worship. God showed up huge, the Holy Spirit falling on us there in Ireland. And I was invited by Dr. Mark Rutland to go in the year 2000 for our first trip to Israel. And it was, as we were going in October, there was the first Intifada.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tammy and I saw how the media absolutely, it lies. I can't put it this way. It gives misconceptions to the American audience on purpose. I was so disappointed to learn that, but I learned that in 2000. So I'll fast forward a little bit more. We started on that trip, we started giving a little bit to organizations, and God started opening a few doors. And it turned out in 2007, I was going back to Israel again. And as I went back to Israel on that next trip, the Lord opened a door for me through a friend of mine, Dr. Carl Baugh, who had been coming since 2004. He had been working with an archaeologist named Eli Shukron, who was the head archaeologist over the City of David Diggs that was just getting started during those years.
Oh, wow.
And they had found the steps of ascension at the Pool of Siloam. They had actually found the Pool of Siloam, the real one, and they had found the steps of ascension. And so what happened was at that time that I was able to connect with the leader of that. His name was Moshe. And Moshe and I became fast friends. I helped fund an organization at that time, which was called the Mereshit Foundation. And through that, we did a project at the real Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, the garden's always at the bottom of the valley. So the real Garden of Gethsemane is not on the side of the hill. The Rock of Agony is on the side of the hill, and the garden is down below. And it was filthy at that time. So in 2006 and 2007, we formed a foundation, a U.S. foundation called Father's House Foundation. And through that and through the Mereshit Foundation in Israel, we did a joint project with the East Jerusalem Development Corporation and with the Catholic Diocese. And we were given permission to go down into the Garden of Gethsemane and do a $3.5 million project of cleaning it and putting a sewer line in and doing that. So that was our first major project that we did there in the land.
Wow.
So that kind of started things moving. And then I could tell you, I know some Jewish people now. Yeah, I know. I started going to a lot of rabbis and learning more and more about our connected faith and how much they love the Lord, and understanding that there were a lot of things in our Christian faith that we really didn't understand. You don't live in the same place together. You got to be together to really start getting deep into the relationship. And so that's started building for us. And there, we have so much more in common than we have separate.
Yeah.
It's true that our fathers of faith have not seen that Jesus, or Yeshua, that's what his mom called him, is that sacrificial lamb. That his blood was spilled at the Passover in 33 AD for all of us. Mm-hmm. They haven't seen that. They haven't completely rejected that either. Their point is, when he comes, they'll know him, and he's going to be coming for them. And they're looking for him, and they want the Messiah to come. And we want the Messiah to come. Mm-hmm. And we are all parts of religion. You know, we have religion. I'm a Christian by religion. And my fathers of faith are Jewish by religion. And my religion's good. It does good things. And their religion's good. It does good things. There is a difference, though, between a spiritual uplifting by the hand of God and religion. Religion can also be bad. It can say, well, you have to wear a certain color coat, or you have to wear your tie a certain way, or you have to... You know, there's things in religion that aren't good. And if we're honest, then we'll say, in the name of religion, Hitler was killing all the Jews he could. In the name of religion, the Romans were throwing the first Jews, trying to kill them with the lions. In the name of religion, the Spanish Inquisition happened. And usually it was Christians trying to force Jews to go from their religion into Christianity. And when I was able to understand that, then I began to be able to connect with these men of faith that love God, because I'm not, I will tell anyone, I don't care who it is, Billy Graham, I love you, but, and I don't say he said to do this, but the bottom line is, if Jesus stood in a room with us and we said, hey, would you like to become a Christian? I'm sorry, Jesus is going to say, no, I'll stay Jewish, because he was a Jewish rabbi that came and gave his blood for all, and the Jew first. So we have to come to a place where we realize it's not about religion. It's about a personal relationship with one that's the Messiah. And if he's it, then we should all have that relationship with him. And that's what I hope. I know for me, he came into my heart. He changed my spirit to where when I listen to him and he speaks to me and he tells me what's right and wrong, when I do what's right, mm-hmm. I get more sanctified and I get more like him. So that's mm-hmm. That's my story of how I got to Israel and how I got started with the projects. I have projects that we've done at the first place where the first altars built in the land. When the children of Israel come through the Passover, they wind up in the land at a place called Gilgal. And there at Gilgal, we did a project where that's where Joshua laid the stone in the ground, and that's where the tabernacle tent stood and the Ark of the Covenant. And when they first come into the land, and so that place was sitting barren, and we were able to go there and put a road in and build a parking lot for tourist buses and make it where people from all over the world can stop at Gilgal and see the stones that Joshua laid on the ground. That's
incredible, because when I read that story, I am amazed and blown away by what Joshua and the men of Israel did. And so in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, where is this? Why haven't they found it? Or why haven't I heard about it, type of thing. And so I love that this is in fact something that is opened for people to see now. When did they start developing that area?
So we have the foundation called the Father's House Foundation that my wife mm-hmm. and I started. And it was through the Father's House Foundation that we were able, people that went on trips with us, that we were able to get the funding to put the parking lots and all the things that mm-hmm. we did. So that all started in 2007. It took a while. But it's there, and buses stop when the tourists are going. They're going within a quarter mile of it. When they're going on the road between the Dead Sea and you're going to Galilee, or if you're at the Galilee and you're going to Jerusalem, you'll pass within a quarter mile of this place. It's right on the Jordan River. And wow. So now it's open. But honestly, we have a plan for phase two. We've already made a good movie about 7 minutes long that we want to show to people out by the road, right by the road. And so we want, and there's a facility there where the buses could stop, people could mm-hmm. use the facilities and then see the movie there. It has to have a pretty good sizable investment into it to make it what we want to make it. So the buses mm-hmm. will really stop there. We call mm-hmm. them that Gilgal phase two. And so we need about $1 million to put that together to where there'll be lots of people from all over the world, from every country in the world, can stop there and see those stones. So we're hoping, you know, Lord willing, we'll be able to raise that $1 million and maybe $2 million, because we have to have funding. I think it will self-fund after a year, but you know, when you're starting something new, you need some extra funding money. So $1 million will put everything, all the infrastructure, and another $1 million will let it run for a couple of years without any income.
And so, but at that site, the stones are all there.
It's laid out. You know, what's amazing, if you're familiar with the tabernacle tent, what Joshua did, he laid the stones east to west, just like the tabernacle tent.
Wow.
Yeah. And in the east, what you have is you have the place of the open place there. I'm not thinking of the right name for it. I'm sorry. Anyway, what you have there is where everybody could come at the far east of it. Then you get to the middle of it, you're at the holy place. This is where the altar is. This is where you would burn the sacrifice. And then when you get to the far west, that's where the tabernacle tent stood and the Holy of Holies stood there. So it's the same thing as the, it's just like the tabernacle tent. Gosh, was laying out there. So it's just amazing. People go and they're able to see those stones and know that this is the evidence that what was written by Joshua is not some kind of fairy tale that actually happened. Mm-hmm. Of course, from there, they went north. From there, they went over not far away to Jericho. And there, when they got to Jericho, they placed a smaller Gilgal. These Gilgal are formations of stone that look like a footprint. Because God had told Joshua, anywhere you go, where you put your sandals, when you put your feet down, that's giving that land. So that's why the first place they camped was a huge stone foot in those stones. And that's where that Gilgal is that I'm talking about.
Wow, that's very interesting.
But against Jericho, they make a small footprint. And there they put the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where they go around the city. But this is the fighting men. You know, they weren't like today. We have the fighting men are down at Gaza and they're fighting. Well, their kids and their families are still back home.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing at the time of Joshua when they got into the land. There were older people, kids, babies. They stayed in the main campsite while the men took the Ark of the Covenant and went over to Jericho, set up and went around blowing the shofar. And finally, the walls of Jericho fell down. And it was broken. Yeah. So they also, anywhere they went, as they were conquering the land, they would build these Gilgal. So there's actually about six of these Gilgal all over the hillsides that we're aware of. But there's only one primary Gilgal, and it's at a place called Argamon. And that's where we did that project.
Wow.
So that's one of our projects. And we have a project at Nevi Samuel, which is the burial place or the tomb of Samuel. It's up on a high place where it was a whole city there, a city of prophets. And so we know exactly where that is, and we're doing a project there of education through a nonprofit called Yubnei Jerusalem.
Hmm.
And then we have a project that's in the Shepherd's Fields, the very place where King David was born. And through archaeology, we know exactly where that is.
Hmm.
We also know from the archaeology that what happened was when Herod became the king, he wanted to build the temple much larger than Ezra, Nehemiah, much larger than Solomon had. He actually backfilled the top of the mountain so he could make it a lot bigger on top of the mountain of God. Where he could build his temple, but he wanted his lineage, his family, to be the ones that raised the sacrificial lambs, that raised all the sacrifices, all the things that were stolen. Because you know, remember, people come for the feast; they have to buy their sacrifice from the. So they were buying from Herod and from his Levites, okay, and from his priesthood. So he. To do that, he didn't want it done anymore at the place that it had been done from the time of Solomon all the way until the time of Christ, and all the way until the time of Herod, 50 B.C. So at 50 B.C., Herod moves everything south. It all goes south just about a mile. And that's where he builds a mountain that's called Herodian. It's a man-made mountain, and he builds a castle in it to protect himself and to protect his priest. And then he moves his priesthood even further south down into areas called Beit Gavir, down by Lachish. And that's where they raise up all the sacrifices for his temple. It all moves there. So if you go fast forward 300 years, you get to Queen Helena. She comes in. She's the mother of Constantine. She's looking for a birthplace of Christ. Of course, she went and saw where Herod was, where Herod had been, the Roman soldiers. And she felt like the birthplace was where Herod had been. she didn't realize what had happened to the land and to the city, the true city of Bethlehem, how it had been destroyed by the Babylonians, the true city of Bethlehem, and that where the remains were, where David was born in the shepherd's fields, where the story of Christ is told to us in the book of Luke, how the shepherds watching their flock by night, these would have been priestly shepherds from the house of Judah, watching their flocks by night, saw angels appear in this field and in the fields where they would be watching their flocks by night, they went up to the fruitful place and found a baby laying in a manger. And so all of that God has revealed to us, and we're getting to work amongst all that, and we've been teaching people that since 2007.
Wow, Byron Stenson. I mean, I would have thought, like, I've always heard just the red heifers, like, kind of like that was it, but you've been involved in doing so much, and I feel like all that's because like you said, the Lord gave you a vision since a child, and you said yes. I feel like the story of Esther, I think we think Mordecai is talking to Esther and he's saying, hey, I think you need to go in and talk to the king. But he says to her, but if you don't, he will raise somebody else up who will do it. But I think that you were made for such a time as this. And the Lord gave you a why as a young boy, and you said yes, and you're doing a lot. That's so amazing. So what an amazing testimony.
And what I'm touching on, honestly, is just a small portion of all the things over since 2007. So much more, but it is not me by no means. It is just being willing, and my wife being willing to say yes when doors open. And for whatever reason, he chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose my heart and said, he'll go, and Lucifer wasn't wrong. I am full of sin and lust of every kind. He wasn't wrong about that. What he was wrong about. And I went before the Lord. I was there in Israel in 2014, and I was just praying for the Lord. So many things had already happened. And I don't want to be a failure. Who wants to be a failure? And it looks like be a failure. And we don't have lots of projects. I don't need to do anything else, And I asked the Lord, am I going to fail you in some way, And I really felt, I didn't hear him. When I was 13, I heard it. It was a But in 14, it was just a knowledge that came inside of me. And basically what I heard God say when I was asking him, am I going to fail you? Because that's what Lucifer said. I heard the Lord say, Byron, I don't ever listen to him. And you don't need to either.
Amen.
So, okay, all right. So, we'll just keep going and just do the best we can.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. And his yoke is easy. And I don't have a goal. My goal is just, as a matter of fact, I ask him, what is my part? What is my part? Go to Micah 6. It says, you can't, rivers of oil and sacrifices and bulls and red heifers, everything else, if you brought me all that, that's not what's going to satisfy me. That's not me. Old man is to walk humbly with me, be merciful and just, be mine. Okay, have a true heart for me. If that, then God will open the doors and do all the work. And at the end, there's only one gets credit, and it's certainly not me. It's the King of Glory, that's the Creator that created all things. He will get glory even today with all of the stuff we're seeing going on. Doors opening. And it's a good door. The things of God have to happen. And one of the things, the most important of all things, is the first covenant. If the first covenant is not good, then the second covenant's not good. Jesus didn't come to do away with the first and start the second. He came to fulfill the first by adding the blood and the mercy of God to the first. And the first covenant, we always have to remember, was to Abraham, if you will go to the land that I will show you, the Eretz, if you will go there, I will give you all that land.
Mm.
So today, the enemy is still saying, from the river to the sea, all the Jews have to go. And if that happens, if they're all killed from the river to the sea, then our God, the creator of all things, that every Christian is counting on, just lost the war to Lucifer.
Yeah. I think of covenants too. Mm-hmm. I think of covenants and, you know, that I think to nullify a covenant, you know, someone, one half the party has to die. And then maybe a covenant could be over. But guess what? We have a God, not of the dead, but we have a God of the living. And Abraham is alive. and his covenant is still standing today and will always stand because we serve the God of the living. Of course, if he chose to not follow Hashem, then maybe that would nullify. But he didn't. He chose to follow and stay after the heart of our God. Anyway, that's interesting. Thank you.
So, yeah, I was actually thinking about that today, about the red heifer.
Yeah.
And Abraham.
Yes.
Sarai, because this week's Torah portion is Chaye Sarah. And I was thinking, well, wait a second, right? There's no red heifer then. They had to go how long did they have to go before here enters the red heifer? So Sarah, may her, you know, name be for a blessing, passes away. There's no red heifer ashes to facilitate this process for her and the family. But whatever the case, so many years go by and then we have the red heifer. And now we've gone how many, 2,000 years since the red heifer, and they're back on the scene. And I'm like, that's amazing. So if you can elaborate a little bit about your journey with the red heifers and bring us up to speed where we're at today with that, I would love that.
So because I have this wonderful relationship with many rabbis and friends of mine, I've done these projects with in the land. They meet, they talk, they're wanting to see the red heifer come because they understand the red heifer is a law of God. There's 613 laws, and they know they can't complete them all, that they fall short, just like we fall short of, of the law. But one of the laws in Numbers 19 is to bring this red heifer for purification. And the big desire in the Jewish heart of our fathers of faith is to build a temple. Now, it's not a temple for just for them. It is a house of prayer for all nations that is supposed to be on the Temple Mountain. We see all through the Old Testament, there is a third temple. The people from all, in Micah 4, you see people from all the earth coming to see the temple of God. They're flocking there to see this temple. This is something that's supposed to happen. It's in their hearts that they're going to be the builders of that temple. The first step before you can do that is you have to move away from death. You see, it's death that is holding us all back from the purity of moving back into the temple and moving back eventually then into the Garden of Eden. So the red heifer was put in Numbers 19 to do the ceremony. It's not exactly a sacrifice like you would have on the Temple Mountain. Happens on the Mount of Olives. It happens outside of where the entrance to the tabernacle tent, which is always to the east. So the Mount of Olives is to the east, and this is where the ceremony has to be held. And it was held there for the other temples of God. Hasn't been held for 2,000 years. There are no ashes. So the fathers of faith, when they were discussing needing the ashes, and Judah, by the way, Judah is the first of this. Judah and Israel were scattered in the nations. A lot of Christians don't know the difference between that. But Israel's the 10 tribes north of Jerusalem, and Judah is the tribe south, which got separated, split apart, and became fighting each other like two different nations. So if you don't know that, you need to understand that. So Judah stays a people group, and then they're brought back first to the land. And we see that in Ezekiel 37, they're the first ones to come back and establish the land. The second half of Ezekiel 37 is the combining of Israel that's been scattered in the nations of the earth, intertwined amongst all the Gentiles of the earth. And of course, they're in our churches. And some of us are part of that, and we don't even know it because mm-hmm. we keep up with that.
Mm-hmm.
But God promises to bless all these nations through Israel, scattered in the nations, to come back and connect with Judah. And the connection point is on this red heifer to get started.
Mm.
So the fathers of faith, Judah, had been trying to raise their own red heifer for many, many years, maybe 30 years.
Mm.
And every time it fails. Every time it fails. So they were discussing this, and it came up that we really feel like that the people in Midland, Texas, and in North Texas, and all across the south of the United States have got to be Israel scattered there because of their love for Israel. So we're going to say they are Israel scattered in the nations. So the verse in Numbers 19 says, say unto Israel, bring us a red heifer. So one of the rabbis discussing this, the rabbi I do these projects with, he said, I know the guy to call. I'll call him, and we'll see if he'll find a red heifer. So I get a call.
Yeah, praise the Lord. That's awesome.
Would you like to find us a red heifer?
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And I thought for a moment, and I said, you know, what would be greater than to represent all of Israel? I'm talking about people in Japan, islands, and the Philippines, people mm-hmm. from all over the world that are Israel. We get to represent them and go out there and hunt for a red heifer. So I'm a businessman. I have a couple of businesses. I talked to my tech people. I said, hey, we got to start finding out where can I find a red heifer. Mm-hmm. I also have a small farm, but they weren't my cows. And I've been around livestock my whole life. On the side, not serious, but we have some out there on my 80-acre farm on the Brazos River. But anyway, we started talking to all my farm buddies, all my ranchers, looking at what cows we could go look at. Man, I'm driving around on my motorcycle out in the country. I see a red cow. I'm getting off of it, running out there. The cow's looking at what are you coming out here looking at my udders. I started, we have a team of people that love Israel. I said, hey, guys, we're looking for red cows. So we started looking. We sent out all kinds of, we put ads in magazines that are rancher magazines. We called everybody we could think to call, and we started looking for the red heifer. And we started learning how to look for the red heifer, what it was about, all the details of it, and how we're going to be able to keep it pure, not have tags in this ear. You got to get to that calf before, on day one, the ranchers put a tag in their ear, and that's a hole. And then it can be a red heifer. It can't be used.
That's a blemish. That's a blemish, right?
Yeah. You know? So you have to find a ranch that actually has cows, a lot of them, hopefully, that are solid red.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just solid red when they're 1 year old, 2 year old. They have to have had their second birthday. And you always, there's so much confusion on this because we tell people it's got to be in the third year. So people, okay, it's got to be three. No, when you're three, the next day you're starting your fourth year.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
The next day you're starting your third year.
Mm-hmm.
So you get out there and know how to inspect. And once we found these in two different ranches, we found some Santa Gertrudis, and then we found some Red Angus, and we were able to pull them together, fly some very important rabbis quietly without saying anything to anybody, just come and look at them. And they came and they said, yeah, they're what we need. So we were able to, it's a long, long story, all kinds of red tape, but we were able to eventually fly five of them to Israel. Today, all five could be used for the ceremony. One has some white hair in its tail, so it won't be the best, and we've called it disqualified.
Okay.
People have said, well, all of them are disqualified now. No, that's not true. four are still perfect. And are all of them, as of the week ago, actually this week, they're all now turned 2 years old, which means they're starting their third year.
Wow. All right. Wow.
So we have the cows of age. Now the big question, the question is, will the people of Israel turn to Hashem and say, you said do this, so we want to do it? It's a ceremony that the nation has to embrace. And I don't know that they would have embraced this because they were so, there was not unity there. Even I just came from Israel. I have a place over there. I stay there. I've been over 80 times, about 80 times. And there was so much disunity. Today, there is no disunity in Israel. They have come together, and now they have to make a decision corporately. The politicians and the people of Israel have to say, do we want to do this ceremony that Hashem said to do on the Mount of Olives? And if they want to, then they get behind Bonai Israel. They get behind the nonprofits in Israel that are working together with the Temple Mount Institute, and they do the ceremony. There's a lot goes into the ceremony, but it's all there. All the pieces are ready. And the next feast, when that would be available to do, would be Passover of 2024. So now we'll see. You know, is it the Lord's plan? If it is, it will happen. So all we have to do, because we don't have to stress over this, we have to pray like the Bible instructs us, so that every prayer we pray is always answered. We are promised in the Bible that there is a way to pray that every prayer that you ask is answered by God. And it's the same way that Jesus prayed as it was time for him to go to the cross. He said, Lord, take this away from me. He's got blood dripping out of his veins, out of his skin. He doesn't want it. He is desiring not to be tortured like they're fixing to torture him. He says, Lord, my will is to take it away. However, not my will, but your will be done. I will do what you want. And then he knew that the Father would answer that. One way or the other.
Yeah.
If you're a parent and you have a child that has cancer and you want God to step across and save your child, you can't do it by saying, God, I only want one answer, my way. You can't do it. Your only hope is to say, that's all I want. I don't want anything but that. However, not my will, but your will be done. Yeah. The Bible guarantees the Lord hears that. And when he answers, then you have to accept that. And you know, King David knew that. He his son and immediately washed his face and went back to work because he knew he had prayed properly. So if we know how to pray properly, we can know that the answers we get are from the Lord and we're on his path. I think the whole church needs to learn, your will, not ours, Father God. We give up our will so that you step across it and do these miracles for us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like there's so much misinformation when it comes to the third temple. There's a lot of mixed emotions, a lot of mixed feelings. I feel like the world will look at it as something maybe in a negative light, maybe just because of the way they've been taught about it. But it does say that it will be, at some point, if it's built, it will be profaned in some future way by this person that we know, that's prophesied, right? The man of perdition, the Antichrist. And so a lot of people call it his temple, but that's not true. It's not his. He profanes it. And in order to profane it, it must be holy first. It is a good thing for it to be built. It's a blessing to the nations and the world. And again, we know it's in the footsteps of Messiah, which is exciting to see all this coming together. I'm excited for it and to know that we live in these times. And again, There's so much. I feel like today's Torah portions are shouting current news. As we read the Torah, it is telling us what's currently happening in Israel. He's trying to wake us up and get our attention. And I think your story is part of this. And thank you for saying yes. And thank you for sharing some of the details that went into that.
First off, I want to say I agree with every word you said. I do want to add one more word. And people aren't thinking far. They're only thinking to the Antichrist, and then their thinking is hits a wall. People that are against building the temple, they only think to the Antichrist, and then their thinking stops. I think that's so sad, because here's the thing. The Messiah is not going to come until the Antichrist is revealed. Temple, he won't be revealed until the temple is built. There's a purpose for the temple. It is to reveal him. Now, at that point, yes, people are scared because we're helpless before him. He can torture us. He can do bad things. He can take over our money systems. There's all kinds of horrible things that we as believers got to know that that can happen when he's revealed. My friends, it's just a short period of time when there's somebody else going to be revealed.
In the
blink of a flash of an eye, he is coming. He is promised for those that love him and are sealed by the Holy Spirit that he is coming. And he won't come until the Antichrist is revealed. And the Antichrist won't be revealed until the temple is built. So my friends that are Christians, that are worried about that, you're think a little further.
Yeah.
In another 3.5 years, if necessary. Okay. We already have our Christian brothers in Iraq that have been put in cages and dropped into the sea and drowned. We already have Christians around the world in Africa and everywhere that are under the tribulation of the Antichrist. Mark 13, it says you'll have wars, pestilence, you'll have all these things, but that's not the end, Jesus said. But the sign of the end is when the believers start getting persecuted. My friend, that's not something that's going to happen.
It is.
That is something that's happening. So it's really close. And then the other sign is when the fig tree becomes ready. Soft and fruitful. Okay, the fig tree is Israel, and right now the fathers of faith, they're looking, I'm talking about all of them, even the ones that don't go to synagogue every week, they love God. They're looking for the fullness of what God, what Hashem has planned for the people of the Jewish people. Okay, so that the fig tree's ready, the figs are ready, love for God is there. The persecution of the Jewish fathers of faith and the Christians is already here. We can know we're close. The red heifer now shows up just as it's close.
Yes.
Through the red heifer ceremony, which brings a higher level of spirituality to our fathers of faith. And this let Yeshua show up as the Messiah and bring salvation to the entire tree, not just the grafted in. But every branch and every limb and every leaf reaching out by spiritually to be connected forever for eternity to our Father. This is our hope. It's not here on earth. It's our home. That's why we do what we do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like we're being tested as the body of Christ. Is how are you going to treat Israel? How are you going to treat my people during this time? It's a test. And we're seeing riots all over the world. And you just can't believe the amount of anti-Semitism coming out around the globe right now. And he's looking at us and he's watching and he's going to judge us the way we treat her at this point. And Holly was talking about Israel being likened to Sarah Menu, and there was so much there. It was really good discussion, but I feel like, man, we got to stand and help be like Esther and choose to say yes and do the hard things, whatever that is. If he's calling you to go and donate to Bnei Israel, he told me just now that I'm supposed to go with you. So let's go, let's get out there. So we're excited to partner with you. We're excited to partner with Israel and do it. If he's calling you to do something, say yes.
Yes.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, our question for our audience, and I'm so thankful to our audience, every one of you who has tuned in and who's watching this interview, thank you so much. We appreciate you. And most importantly, we cherish your prayers, your relationship with Hashem. And we pray that this episode is nourishing your soul and drawing you closer to Him and giving you revelation that you didn't have before. So thank you for tuning in and watching this, and may the voice of the Lord be near you, and may you hear His call on your life. And so, but coming back to you, Mr. Byron, what are some of the ways that might be helpful, you know, for our viewers? Prayer, donation, what sort of give us an idea how we can help partner with y'all?
Okay, so the first thing is, do everything unto the Lord. And mm-hmm. Do full joy. Okay. So we established Bnei Israel as a conduit to help build up Israel. Bnei Israel. Bnei means build.
Mm-hmm.
Build Israel. And so 99% of the money that comes to us is not spent here in the United States on anything. I'm a volunteer. My wife and I made a commitment in 2007, we only give. If there was $1 billion sitting there on the table, not one penny will go in our pocket. Every dime will go into Israel every time. So, but what we do, it's just a conduit to help build Israel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or we have sent, what had to happen whenever this happened suddenly, they call up 300,000 men who had to leave their homes immediately. They didn't have time to pack socks, towel, anything. I mean, they grabbed their rifle and put their uniform on, and they were gone down to the battlefield.
Mm.
So there's everybody in Israel, not just us, but many organizations all came together. Some restaurants cooking full meals, some of them doing different things. But what we did at Bnei Israel was we got backpacks, thousands of them. We filled them with socks and towels and all the essentials and batteries and things that the soldiers needed on the field. And we immediately started running all those, and we've run several thousand of those backpacks down the field. Then there's a special group of rabbis that are set aside to handle death. Death is the thing really set aside.
Yeah.
Those men have had to see and deal with the most horrible situation. Which one of these babies' heads goes with that baby's torso? Can you imagine?
Mm-mm.
So we have supported that group of men. It's a large group of men. And we've supported them spiritually and physically with their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So Israel is doing that. We also have the projects that I told you about.
Yes.
We're continuing to move forward with those projects. Mm-hmm. If you'd like a place that you can know the money will get to Israel, and you'd like to give something, what happened, you know, if you can give $100 a month or $10 a month or $1,000 a month, if you just make a monthly contribution and say it's monthly, that helps us with figuring out what can we commit to.
Mm-hmm.
Can we order a load of things to come in next month and continue the work that we're doing? Now, there's more work. We work with other nonprofits up there, too, that's going on. Because you have to realize when these men that live out in the in Samaria and Judah, there are people there that they're not Hamas. Some Hamas is in those same areas where those men had to leave. They had the pistol, they had the rifle, and they had to leave and go to the front line, leaving their wife and their child and their teenage son back home. And so there's a real void there of men in those communities. So what we've done is some men have volunteered, and they go and they help protect. They don't have guns or anything, but they're out there at night with a telephone ready to try to communicate, get help if there was any kind of. So we're working with some groups that are doing that and doing some of that ourselves too. So there's different things we're doing. So any support we get is very meaningful. We appreciate the support. And it all goes, you can do it through BonetIsrael.com. There's do it online with a credit card or however you want to set it up. We can also send it to our CPAs. And the way to get that information, if you want to send a larger donation, you don't want to see the percentage come out of your credit card. We can send that to our CPA, who takes care of all that, make sure you get a tax deduction for your gift. And so you can find that information, or you can contact me directly by going to my personal website, which is byronstinson.me. And at byronstinson.me, while you're there, I invite you, please, there's videos that show what we did on the Red Heifer Hunt. There's videos that show what's happened at Gilgal. There's videos that all kinds of videos like this. So you can spend a lot of time on the byronstinson.me, and there's a little bit of Build the Temple information. I have a website called buildthetemple.com. We won't put that up there, but you'll see it at the byronstinson.me. And so you can be involved in knowing, and there's more. There's I don't have time to tell you. It's insane how much God is doing right now, opening doors. So, but be involved and be. And when you do, when you give, then you're part of us, and we appreciate it. You're on the team. Connect with me at thebyronstinson.me. There's a contact page. It gives me all It gives me all your information, and it keeps it in a spreadsheet so that as we put out information, I can get that back to you, and we won't. We won't fill your inbox. You might not get anything for 2 months, but as things happen, we'll be able to connect back to you and tell you what's going on with our projects.
Well, that's wonderful. I sort of caught something interesting when it had your website up, Bonet Israel, that I think is sort of cool because it ties in with this week's Torah portion as we read about Abraham sending Eliezer to find a bride for Isaac. Yes. And Rebecca says yes. She heeds the call and she says yes. And we know that she becomes the bride of the promised son. And what a beautiful calling and what a beautiful life she enters into as she enters Sarah's tent. And but Bonet Israel, I saw just in the English, bone, his, Israel. And it made me think of Yeshua and the rib from his side being pierced and Adam and the rib being removed to form Eve as his bride. And what a beautiful season we're in as the bride of Messiah is coming alive. And I just pray that each one of us says yes in response to the Father's call on our life.
Oh man, that's really good insight, Holly. My wife is always full of such wisdom, and I'm sure Tammy is too.
She just had two surgeries this last 2 weeks on her shoulder, but she's getting better now. But man, she has been through it. But that's why we're here, and not there in Israel. So really miss it. I was there in 14 when all the thousands of rockets were launched at us, and I would prefer to have been there during this time too. Yeah. For neighbors that we're there to stand with them, but be here during this season. But that was the Lord's choice for this time. We'll go back as soon as we can. We'll definitely be back for all next summer. There's one more organization that I didn't, it's on my byronstinson.me page, but it's the organization is fathershousefoundation.com. It's actually Father's House Educational Foundation, but the website is fathershousefoundation.com. We've taken over 2,000 church leaders on educational trips to Israel since 2007, and we still do that. And Ellie Shukron, who I told you was the head of the City of David archaeological digs, he is now our guide that teaches you on site. You can't get a better archaeologist.
Wow.
We go to the archaeological finds through Father's House. We go to the, that's it. it's just perfect. And we go to the actual archaeological site, places that tell you that you know the Bible's true. And so they had a trip supposed to be there right now. We had to hold them back. They'll go a little later. But we have about 6 trips a year or more. And we'd love for more people to be able to go with us to Israel through Father's House Foundation.
Fabulous.
Wow, fabulous.
Amazing.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Byron, do you mind closing us with a word of prayer and a blessing?
Oh, man. Thank you. Yeah, I'd love to. So, Lord God, you, your eyes, Lord God, they roam the earth. They are looking for those who are your people. And they see every one of us. They see us all that love you. They know who we are. By the Spirit, God, they just... they're watching for us. And so I pray right now for all those that already love you, Father God, to help our spirits step to a higher level than we've ever stepped, to, Father God, become more pure and sanctified than ever before. And Father, I pray that everybody listening, that they would be used for your glory, that they would become bold, that they would fight for the glory of your glory, that they would fight for the truth, and that they would support our fathers of faith in Israel. Lord God, give them projects, give them opportunities. Lord God, maybe somebody's watching that doesn't know you or not sure if he knows you or she knows you. My friends, he's real. You just have to open your heart and believe. You know, you believe in God. Now believe in him who was sent by God so that he could give you salvation through the atoning blood that he spilled. Mm-hmm. So, Father God, we just ask that these people would see that, believe that, and start growing spiritually and physically, Father God, by your power and your might, entwined inside of them and leading them every step of the way. Thank you for this TV station. We ask you, Father God, that it would be blessed with funds to be able to send your message all over the world, that people would be saved by their ministry and strengthened. And we pray all these things to our high priest who is sitting at the right hand of the creator of all things, the very begotten first son of God. We pray through him by the Holy Spirit that these things would happen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on GLC for this great episode. If you've enjoyed it and want to see more like it, please leave comments down below and share this episode with all your friends. Put it on Facebook and put the word, the good word out of what the Lord's doing through Byron and the Red Heifers. And God willing, will we see the offering made very soon in the coming feasts. And see the footsteps of the rebuilding of the third temple, Bezrat Hashem. Amen. Well, thank you. And we thank you for joining us, and shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom. Yeah.